Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Bev. Mm-hmm. On today's call, we're going to finish our conversation.
Yes.
About seven keys to giving.
To giving.
Seven keys to
giver.
Powerful
yeah.
giving.
Amen.
See, God sets giving apart from going to church, praying, even living a righteous life. Genesis 8:22 says that as long as the earth exists, there will be temperature changes, cold and heat, thus establishing the seasons of the year.
And seed time and harvest is a season of the year, more than just putting it in the ground.
And it's the first thing that he mentions in
that's right.
seed time and harvest.
It's important.
In fact, Genesis 8:22 says, as long as earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. As we said, very first thing that's listed.
That's right.
Here are seven powerful reasons you should be a giver. We're going to do a brief review, then we'll finish this teaching.
Amen. Number one, we worship God by our giving. In Psalm 116:12, Classic Amplified, it says, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? How can I repay him for all his bountiful dealings? We need to praise God for all his benefits. I love Psalm 103:2. It's worth reading every day, which I do. Realizing that we can never repay him for his incredible, manifold blessings in our lives.
That's it. Number two, we praise God by our giving. Who do you want to please? Your spouse, mother, father, sister, brother, best friend, neighbor, pastor, employer, or most anybody you meet. Truthfully, there's really only one person you ever need to be concerned about pleasing. Because if he's happy and well-pleased, you will find contentment in life. Philippians 4:18. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. The offering that is well-pleasing to God is the one that he tells you to give.
Number three, your giving, well, it puts God, we talked about this not long ago, it puts pressure on the word to act on our behalf. And because in Malachi 3:10, it says that our God, that our giving of tithes and offerings, that is what allows God to open the windows of heaven over our life. If we don't tithe and give offerings, the windows of heaven are closed. But if we tithe, they're open. If we don't, they're closed. We want them open. And giving those offerings obviously measures what comes back to us. So the point of it is we can either have them open or closed. We make the decision.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Number four, our giving makes the enemy very unhappy. He hates it when we sow because he knows that we'll reap a harvest. The enemy wants you to think that sowing is something that works for some people, but not for you. He wants you to believe that you'll never receive a harvest. He knows that if he can get you to doubt, he can keep you from receiving a harvest.
If he gets you to doubt, he can make you do without.
That's it.
Now we say that all the time.
And it neutralizes our financial effectiveness.
That's right.
For the kingdom of God. The enemy creates false beliefs about money to rob us of our potential for success. So now let's pick up where we left off on yesterday's call.
That's right. Giving can be your way out of trouble. You know the story of Esau giving his birthright to Jacob for food, and how Jacob and his mother, Rebekah, deceived Isaac into thinking Jacob was Esau, so that he would bless him as the firstborn son. When Esau discovered what Jacob had done, he was not, and we'll say in our days, a happy camper. Genesis 27:41 reveals Esau was going to kill Jacob after their father died. You know that Jacob got out of there. We could say got out of Dodge. That's using our Texas Western movie vernacular. And how he was deceived and taken advantage of. What did he do? He reaped what he sowed. Taken advantage of by his father-in-law, Laban, for 20 years. However, in those years, he learned how. Yes, he learned how to become blessed beyond measure. God directed Jacob to return home. Even though he was now a wealthy man, Jacob was still fearful of how Esau would respond to the news of his return. Then Jacob prayed and asked God to save his life, which he confirmed he would do. So the next morning, Jacob put together a pretty impressive gift of animals and, well, gifts for his brother Esau. He sent the gifts to him in three waves with a specific message to be given to Esau by his servants. When Jacob finally meets up with Esau, there's a powerful message found in Genesis 33:10. 33:10, this in the Message Bible. Jacob said, "Please, if you can find it in your heart to welcome me, accept these gifts. When I saw your face, it was as the face of God smiling on me. Accept the gifts I have brought for you. God has been good to me, and I have more than enough."
I love that sentence.
God has been good
to me. God has been good to me.
And I have more than enough. Jacob urged the gifts on him, and Esau accepted. So Jacob's God-directed giving got him out of trouble and put him in good standing with his brother Esau.
Number six, our giving creates moments of unlimited blessings. King Solomon gave a spontaneous offering, which triggered a supernatural visitation and a blessing known throughout the ages. 2 Chronicles 1:6. And Solomon went up thither to the brazen altar before the Lord, which was at the tabernacle of the congregation, and offered 1,000 burnt offerings upon it. This is not a small offering. No. Other people were coming up and making offerings, and Solomon gave up and offers 1,000 burnt offerings.
1,000 burnt offerings.
Solomon got the leaders together and said, "All right, the Spirit of God has moved me. You can come with me. I'm going to offer thee some burnt offerings to the Lord." In the Dake's Annotated Reference Bible, discussing the offering, it says that they were worth $325,000. That wasn't a little offering that Solomon gave. And in today's money,
who knows what it would be?
Be more than that. The God of heaven came down to Solomon in the night vision. Immediately after he'd given the offering, the Spirit of God prompted him to do. He came to Solomon and said, "Solomon, just ask what you want. What do you want me to do for you?" When God comes and manifests himself, notice the humility of Solomon, because Solomon begins not with answering the request. He begins by praising God. 2 Chronicles 1:8-10. 2 Chronicles 1:8-10. And Solomon said unto God, "Thou hast showed me great mercy upon David my father, and has made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let that promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Give me now wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge the people that is so great?" You see, Solomon already had some wisdom operating in his life to even make a request like this.
That's true.
Because the Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that wisdom will bring you riches and honor. Solomon had enough wisdom to ask for wisdom. 2 Chronicles 1:11-12. 2 Chronicles 1:11-12. God replied to Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you've not asked for riches, possessions, honor, and glory, or the life of your foes, or even a long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may rule and judge my people over whom I've made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted you, but I will give you riches, possessions, honor, and glory, such as none of the kings had before you, and none after you shall have their equal.
That's wild.
Can somebody say,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's amazing. That is, so, I could dwell on that.
Yep.
Number seven, giving creates conversation and change. When you give, God likes to brag about you. Think about that, especially when your giving isn't convenient.
That's true.
Listen to Philippians 4, verses 14 and 15. Philippians 4, 14 and 15. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. The giving of the Macedonians is still being spoken about today in Scripture. You know, the alabaster box spoke to Christ and is still speaking to us today. Matthew 26:13 in the Classic Amplified says, truly I tell you, wherever this good news, the gospel is preached to the whole world, what this woman has done will be told also in memory of her. So when that alabaster box was broken over Christ before his crucifixion, it is still being spoken of today. And not only that, the giving of Cornelius was recognized in heaven and has been creating conversation about memorial giving, well, down through the ages. Acts 10:4, Classic Amplified says, and he, gazing intently at him, became frightened and said, what is it, Lord? And the angel said, your prayers and your generous gifts to the poor have come up as a sacrifice to God and have been remembered by him. Oh, think of that being said about you.
Wow.
The list could go on, but time, well, is getting probably a little bit short. Anyway, bear with us. With this little short scripture, Proverbs 24:12, New Living Translation says, don't excuse yourself by saying, look, we didn't know. For God understands all hearts and he sees you. He who guards your soul knows you knew. He will repay all people as their actions deserve.
That's a powerful two words.
That's
God will repay us as our actions deserve.
Think of that.
When it comes to giving, here's the question. What do your actions deserve? Something to think about. Hallelujah.
It really is.
If you're blessed by the teaching and the ministry, go to haroldherring.com. Click the button that says Soul Seed. Just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God. And be praying. Only Christians are the ones who pray. If we're not praying, who is?
That's it.
Pray for the country. Pray for the good of all people everywhere.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And we're praying today for traveling mercies for our friends.
The Browns.
They're going to stop by for a visit.
They are.
We're excited about that.
Yes, we are.
And their daughters.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Well, till tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And keep thinking rich thoughts from the Word of God.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.